Here's what we're going to look at here. Okay, so we're doing this one a little bit different this morning, which is normal around here. So if you're over at 1 John, we're going to be looking, like I said, we're going to be looking at verse 7 here. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. Beloved, this is in the King James Version here, so it says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and that everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. Verse 8 right here says, And he that loves not, knoweth not God, for God is love. We always quote this one right a lot, for God is love. But I want to look at a few things here that we really get kind of a great description. It all leads up to help us understand that God is love. So the first thing that it tells us is, hey, love one another. That's a sermon in and of itself. That's a way to try to live life. That's a very difficult thing to do in and of itself. But then it says, for love is of God. Of God, this portion here, it means it derives from him. It flows out of him. Okay? So it's first saying, listen, it's of God. It comes from him. And then it says, and everyone that loves is born of God, meaning that you come out of that same love, right? And you know God. You know love, because God is love. It's about to tell us this, right? He says, but if you love not, then you don't know God, because God is it. So he starts off kind of telling us, it's kind of like saying, oh yeah, you know, this is, for instance, if you were to describe me this morning, you may would describe what I'm wearing. You may describe, oh, he's got a hat on, he got a this. And these are the things that are of Jared. They're on me, they're around me. But then you would go so far as to say, yeah, but he is a person, and he is this individual we call Jared. There's more to it. So at first, John's saying, yes, yes, all these things flow of God. And then he's like, you know what? God actually is the very essence. What it is love. Now, we're not going to go too much in this week because I have to save it for next week about love and the details behind it. But love is a choice that we get to exercise. See, God is the actual action of love, and then we get to choose to exercise that love. Not unlike, if you notice, love and sovereignty, they kind of overlap a little bit, because we get to choose. He gives us the authority to choose, so thus we get to choose a little bit of if we choose to love. Now, what I want to go to right here is 1 Corinthians 13. We're not actually going to read through this entire thing here, but I'm giving you a little exercise. I'm giving you your homework early on, okay? This is 1 Corinthians 13. Your homework's coming up at the beginning. Right here, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, talks about, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not, some versions say charity, but the actual word is the same word, love. I become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal and all this kind of stuff, right? And then it talks about, even if I have the gift of prophecy, and he talks about all these great spiritual things, but he says, if I don't have love, because this is the core of who God is, then none of that matters. And then he goes on to say this, love suffers long. Everybody just thought of your marriage, sorry. Love suffers long, it's kind. Love doesn't envy, love does not boast, love is not proud. Who's ever heard this? Okay, again, that's another thing, you go to Hobby Lobby and it's like there's a whole long list of things. And some of us use it as a checklist to say failure today, oh, nope, forgot that one, right? But what my challenge to you is to go read this entire chapter right here. Go home and read 1 Corinthians 13 from beginning to end. Everywhere you see the word love, replace it with God. So then if we say, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not God, I'm a tinkling brass or a cymbal. That'd be like Uncle Randy up there just the whole time we're talking, going ting, 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 shh. Be quite annoying. You're good, Uncle Randy, but you know. And it says, if I have to get the prophecy and understand all the mysteries and knowledge of the faith, and I can move and remove mountains, but I have not God, nothing. Then this one here, love suffers long and is kind. God suffers long and is kind. I want you to go through this whole chapter. Every time you see that word, charity or love, whichever version you're using, read it. That's your homework for the week. Read that and replace it with the word God. Now, one of you, y'all are going to stumble a little bit when it says, does not envy. God does not envy. Because y'all can say, well, it says everywhere else, God's a jealous God. Go do your research and look at the word jealous and look what the word envy means. They're two completely different things. We misconstrue them sometimes because we think you're envious, meaning you're jealous. But in actual scripture, if you go look at it in the Old Testament, it says God's a jealous God and stuff like that. That word jealous is not the same word. Envy here. It's different. Go and research that. That's your homework. Everybody wrote down your homework for the week, right? Okay. Now that you got your homework, replace it. Now, this is love, which is God. If you notice, we put it at the top of our little thing here because it's the principal thing. All other things. God uses his sovereignty, his authority, and exercises it from a place of love. He uses his generosity. When you love, you give, right? Who loves their children? Some of you in the mornings like a little less. Yeah. So what do? You want to give them everything you can. Now, sometimes you know giving them something is not the best thing for them. So what do? You exercise your sovereignty as a parent and say, yeah, but I'm not going to give you that. Wait till they have the wisdom of how to do it. For instance, I would not take Levi, my youngest, and say, Levi, here's a power tool and a skill saw. Go try to make something. That is not the proper use of my generosity or my wisdom, right? Now, I could go and give him, say, a hammer and a nail because he has enough wisdom to do. He may hurt himself a little bit, but he's not going to destroy, you know, something or himself in the process. This is how God works. We call this the kingdom of God. Last couple of weeks, I'm not going to go rehash this, but we talked about what the word kingdom means. It means a king's domain or the way a king does things. And we said, well, these are, and there's a lot more to the kingdom of God, mind you. This is not like, hey, you can say it up there with six words or what have you. No, there's so much more to it. But we're kind of giving us a little bit of a scope that says, okay, this is the way God does things. God does things from a place of sovereignty, from a place of generosity, and a place of love. Love being the principal thing. So now, and we talked last week about wisdom, and this week we're going to talk about faith and hope. I thought it was so cool because Uncle Randy, or Randy to the rest of you rather, everybody on all the online is going to be like, Uncle and this, man, they're all related. That's an incest church. We're not going there. but Uncle Randy spoke about hope about 2 months ago now. And we've talked about faith even, right? We've been talking about the armor of God and shields up and take up your shield of faith. But I'm gonna do something this morning when we break down this word faith and hope. And I saw it in a little bit of a different light, and it was so cool to me. So let's go to Hebrews 11 real quick. Hebrews 11. And we're going to start at verse 1 here in Hebrews 11. And this scripture is a scripture I've heard my whole life, and I tend to say that a lot, and that's because I've heard a lot of scriptures my whole life, which is a fantastic thing, and I count that all joy, that I was able to be brought up and hear these scriptures over and over again, and they get ingrained into you. I was talking to someone the other day, and they're like, Jared, and this is not like boastful for me again, but he's like, Jared, you just go too fast. You're saying all these things too quickly. Where's that scripture at? Where's that scripture? I'm like, well, it's here, and like, how do you know all that? I was like, well, I've had the fortunate opportunity for at least 18 years that I was cognitively aware, I heard these scriptures over and 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 over again. And it's so awesome because then when you go back and read, that's why we call it the living word of God, because you can go back and read that same thing at a different place in life, and God says, hey, look at this path right here. Look at what I'm about to do for you here. And this is just one of those scriptures. We're going to read it together, and then we're going to look at some words, right? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then it goes on and talks about the elders obtaining good reports and faith. We understand things. You can go through and read that again. That can be homework. That's extra credit for this week. If you read this whole Hebrews 11, this whole chapter talks about faith in quite detail. It's an amazing, the whole God is amazing, and so is the Word of God. But just read that little bit, and it'll really start to open your eyes about what faith is. Now, let me show you something. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. One of the coolest things to me was the word substance here. When we think substance, what do we think of? Things. Most of you, when I say substance, you think of maybe a clump of glue or something, right? It's a substance. It's kind of just abstract form, maybe. Or maybe some of you thought of your house and your cars or money. These things are what? We call them our substance, right? We even, back in the old days, they say, oh, he's a man of substance. And that usually means either he's got a lot of things, or it means there's something strong about the individual. This word substance here actually means two things. It means foundation. It's its core meaning. It means foundation. Every building that you ever step foot in, if it's standing for any length of time, it has what? A foundation. You know, some of the most expensive work you would have to do on a building or your house, if something gets jacked up, is what? Foundation work. They did this to my parents' old house, and they dug underneath all this thing. I mean, there was mounds of dirt. It looked like my dad thought he was at the end of the rainbow and was digging for gold. They had these huge holes that went up underneath the foundation. They put these pillars and these jacks and everything to keep the foundation what? Secure. The other thing that this word means is foundation, but it also means a setting place. a setting place. I want you to think about that as we go through the rest of this. It's a foundation. So faith is what? The foundation that everything is built on. It's the foundation, and it's a setting place. You know what sets on this foundation is all the walls. Everything that you see, beautiful or not, in this building, sets upon what? The foundation. Now, there's lots of other scriptures that say, what is our foundation? It's faith. What is it? It's faith through Christ. Christ is our foundation. He is the rock on which we stand. These are lots of other scriptures that we're not going to go into. Now, the second thing that I found so cool is, so faith is, can we replace the word substance here with foundation? Faith is the foundation of things hoped for. And then this part, the evidence of things not seen. That whole portion, there's actually only two words there. So we read the evidence of things not seen. It's actually two words in the Greek that means that whole statement. One of them, though, the biggest piece is evidence of things. That's the one word, the first one word. Evidence of things means proof of something's existence, but also proof of what's been done. I want you to think about that for a minute. It's proof of what's been done. Okay? I recall back to a scripture when Jesus is on the cross and he says, it is finished. Okay? So right here, if we replace these words, we see this. Now faith is the foundation of all of the things hoped for, and it's the proof of what's been done. Right? It's the proof of what's been done. And this second part, unseen, means exactly what you think it means. Something that you don't perceive. The word seen there means perceive. Something you don't even perceive. But faith is the foundation behind these things. Who's ever said, show me God? Who's ever had someone say, well, point, show me God? Well, you can't, because we can't see him. You can only perceive him through the Spirit, right? We don't walk around and physically see God, just like, you know, in the garden. We don't walk around and see trees of knowledge of good and evil just sprouting up all over the place, right? It's something that is in the spiritual realm, so it's something that we perceive through the Spirit. So if now faith is the foundation thing of hope for, and it's the proof of something that has been done that you can't perceive, sometimes even understand, right? I've had so many conversations with people when we talk about Christ, we talk about other things in Scripture, and they're just like, I don't understand how that could make this happen. But that's because, if you remember last week, we read a scripture that his ways are not our ways, and they're higher than our ways, right? His thoughts are not our thoughts, they're higher than our thoughts. So that is why. So let's read that one more time. Now faith is what? The foundation of things hoped for. The proof of what's been done that we can't perceive sometimes. Now, I want you to, the whole time that we're talking about this, remember, if you were here last week, recall all of it. If you weren't, go watch it all. Because I want you to remember what we defined sovereignty as and generosity as and wisdom from last week, because it will build upon this, okay? Remember that the whole time. Now let's talk about this thing, hope. Hope is an interesting thing, because a lot of people can misconstrue faith and hope as the same thing, because we usually think faith is what? Faith is like, oh yeah, it's just like believing and hoping something's going to happen, sort of. It's kind of there, but that's also kind of like saying that, you know, I don't know, a cookie's good for you. It's got an egg in it, but it's got a whole lot of other stuff that's not. It's not good for you, guys. So let's look at this real quick. Hope. We're going to look at first scripture, Proverbs 13:12. Proverbs 13:12 says this. I'm actually going to paraphrase this one so I can get to kind of the bigger point here. But it talks about hope being lost, and then it says this statement that we hear a lot all throughout the world. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Who's ever heard that? It's even in poems, actually. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Now, when I heard the word deferred the first time, I thought of getting tickets, because I've had deferred adjudication, or whatever it's called, multiple times for speeding tickets. What does it mean to be deferred? We think of it like put off. Like to put off the judgment, maybe. That's how I thought of it at first, till I started really looking at what it means, and then I realized why they call it deferred adjudication. Because I figured out what the word deferred meant. Isn't that fun? Learning the English language. Deferred means this first thing, seized. Who's ever heard? Seize the day, carpe diem, right? Seize the day, it means seized. It means scattered or stretched out. Who's ever had, y'all remember Stretch Armstrongs back in the day? Y'all remember this? They probably don't make them anymore. Now they make slime. But you stretch it and stretch it and stretch it and stretch it, and then when you let it go, it like kind of comes back together. So now let's replace real quick this word deferred with this word scattered or stretched out. Pick whichever one you want. Everybody, I want to hear a yeah for scattered and then a yeah for stretched out. Ready? Scattered? Wow, y'all are weak. Stretched out? That was about equal 0 decibel levels. Okay, I'm just going to replace it in the order and so I wish. So, hope scattered makes the heart sick. Or how about this? Hope stretched out makes the heart sick. Now, what's this word heart? No. Heart is your spirit. Matter of fact, right here, this word heart means thoughts that make up the mind. Thoughts that make up the mind. I want you right now to think about every depressed day you've ever had, every fantastic day. Who's ever had like just a great day? You're like, I wish it never ended. Why? Because in your mind, in your thoughts, you've created this day. You had a great day, so thus you were dwelling on this great day. But who's ever had just a horrible day? Nobody is raising their hand. Caleb is the only one that raised his hand. Okay. Horrible days. You're just like, I wish it would end. Because you're stretched out. Usually our most horrible days are days that start off waking up late. Because your time is already stretched out. You already know you're behind. So what do you begin to do? You begin to stretch yourself and say, you know what? I usually drink one cup of coffee. I'm going to drink two. Now your stomach's hurting because you drank 2 cups of coffee and forgot to eat breakfast or drink a Red Bull like I did this morning. So, Justin gave it to me. It's his fault. But hope deferred, hope stretched out makes the spirit, makes your thoughts, makes your mind, makes who you are sick. You know what sick means? This is so interesting to me. It actually translates to a woman in labor. I've never been in labor. Don't think I ever will be. I'm pretty sure of that one. But I remember my wife and every other woman who's ever heard a guy say, oh, that was like giving birth. And all the women's ever gave birth is like, I mean, flames start to come out of their hair, eyes turn red. It's almost like a vision of Jesus. Because no, it is not. Why? This is the most painful, agonizing thing. So when we think of this and we say, oh, it makes your heart sick. We kind of paint it like this. Oh, you're not doing so well. No. Hope seized up, hope stretched out, begins to make your mind not function properly in its agony. It begins to make your spirit cry out in agony and saying, no, I have to have this thing called hope. But we say, oh, yeah, have faith that you'll receive hope. I'm going to show you something right here real quick. Let's look at Proverbs 4. Can we go to Proverbs 4? That's good. We're going there. This is where I get really excited. If I wish I had some mud and some water. Hey, can you get me some mud and water and a filter? It can be like one of those like strainy filter things. Yeah. I don't know. You know, things you do spaghetti in. Colander. Oh, cauldron. See, when you said cauldron, I was thinking like a witch over. That's a cauldron. Okay. See, I know my English language. All right. So, Proverbs 4, we're going to look at verse 23. Okay? Verse 23. Now, this is what it says. It says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. A lot of you are saying, I got a lot of issues. You got them too. Someone's singing a song right now. Okay, so keep the heart. The heart here is the same thing we just looked at. It's your spirit. It's your thoughts. It's your soul. It's not the beating organ within you. It is your spirit. Keep it. What does this word keep here means? Guard, protect. You know what I thought of when I thought of this guard, protect here? I thought of the Garden of Eden because the word garden actually means a protected enclosure. So I thought of this. Protect an enclosure. Keep your spirit. Keep it with all diligence. Diligence means exactly what we translate diligence to mean, means steadfast, being on it, every day. Keep it 100, every day. Stay on it, keep it, guard it. Why? For out of it are the issues of life. This blew my mind when I looked at the word issues, because when I thought issues, I thought about like, out of my heart, because I love my wife, 3 issues came. My children. I was kidding, guys. God. But we think of issues as these problems. And sometimes they are, but the word issue means this. The word issue means sources, like a source of something, right? It also means deliverance or escape. And that was like, wait, source, deliverance, or escape? That doesn't make sense to me. And remember, in Greek and Hebrew as well, and this was written in Hebrew because this is in the Old Testament here, the word has a whole idea behind it, not just the one meaning. So as I started looking at it, I just kept meditating over and over, source and deliverance and escape. Like, how do these things tie together? And if you read the whole definition, because in the Strong's, what it does is it gives you the core definitions, and then it kind of shows you this is how it means figuratively, and it kind of goes through and explains to you the thought behind it. And it blew my mind, because then I read it this way. Guard your spirit every day, constantly, all the time, because out of it, out of your spirit, by guarding it and being diligent, comes the source for deliverance and escape of what? Life. And I thought about life, and Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So if we look at these things in the whole side of it, it says, listen, protect, guard your spirit all the time, because out of it is where the source of deliverance and escape comes from, through Christ, or for life, or for the things, for your daily walk, your escape, your deliverance, that stretched out. If it, your hope is deferred, you're too stretched out to be able to guard it. Who's ever seen some military movies? The number one thing you hear in the military movies is whenever they're fighting, and they say what? Hold the line. Why? Because what happens is people, they start to get scattered, right? And then all the enemy starts to break through. And it's the same thing with your faith and with your hope. If it gets stretched out, you become sick. You become in agony. Why? Because the enemy starts to poke through the holes. And I guess we're not going to get our filter, so I'll have to paint an imaginative picture for you here. But that's fine. That was totally on a whim there. So, but look at Proverbs 4 like this. Guard. Think of the garden. Keep it in the presence. Keep your spirit in the presence. Because when you do that, when you keep it in there constantly, which now reminds me that Eden is called a spot for the moment where the presence of God is an open door. What that means is keep it, guard it in the presence, keep your spirit. So where as you walk, the presence of God walks with you daily, diligently, because out of that comes your sources of escape through the things in life. This is what I thought. Here's how you can define hope and faith. This is what we're going to do with the filter, but it's okay. Imagine really muddy, dirty nastiness, and we're going to call that your life. Then imagine this holder. No, we're good. We're good. Thanks. Thanks for getting it all, but I'm just going to. I needed it like giant. You know, in my mind, you were going to bring me a giant bowl with a big. I wanted it to pour from the ceiling, make it rain. But we have this. Imagine this tub. Okay? And then we have all this messiness, all this messy dirt, things going on in your life. Right now, think through the last day, week, month, 2 months, year of your life. Just think about it. Think about how you hit this issue and you hit that issue, and at some point, you become too stretched. Your hope is deferred. Do you know what your hope is? Your hope is that filter. And as you pour that in there, hope is the filter of how you position your faith. Hope becomes the filter. As you say, I have hope, and as it starts to come through, you say, I'm going to keep the hope. And out of that, all of a sudden, comes this thing, and it cleans it out, and then you have faith to stand. That's why they're separated right here, because they're two different things. Hope is the filter, the perception, the view that you hold of life. Right? Who's ever heard them? They lost hope. They just lost all hope. Because it's the filter, it's the perception that determines your level of faith. The tighter the filter, the less gets through. When you stretch it out, more gets through. Then all of a sudden, big blocks start to get through. And then your hope becomes deferred. It makes your heart sick. Then you get depressed. Then you maybe get physically sick. All of these things because you didn't hold fast to the one core piece. God said, listen, keep the hope. Stay in my presence daily, because that will keep the hope tightened up to where when these issues start to flow, when these things, these sources, it could be a source for evil or for good, right? Sources are not always great, right? You contaminate a water source, it does what? It flows down the river and contaminates everything. They're not always good sources, but all the sources of life flow through this. But the tighter your filter of hope and your perception of hope and say, hey, it may not look like it right now, but I know somehow God's never failed me yet. He won't fail me in the future. I don't know what it's going to do. You may not have all the answers, but you say, I won't let my hope get stretched out, because if I let it get stretched out, too much is going to get through. When it gets through, it's going to make me sick. And then you say, no, I'm going to keep it tight. Because then when I do that, it builds my faith. Because then I can see there's this clear water at the end. Right now, it may be all murky and muddy, and I'm seeing all these things get caught up, but I won't let it get stretched out. Because if you let your hope get stretched out, all of a sudden your faith starts to crumble. Imagine this. Again, review all the footage over the last several weeks, because this will make a lot more sense if you've studied through the armor of God. The armor is a shield, right? It's called the shield of faith. What's the shield of faith made of? Hope. The shield of faith, it is all faith, but hope is what it's made out of. So if you have a shield of a just big mesh, lots of stuff, imagine this. You're going to battle before guns and all that and whatnot. Well, maybe even guns. Let's imagine it's bulletproof. But what they give to you, it's just got little pieces of bulletproof all over. The rest of it's just, you're just open. How great would that work? Not so well, my friend. You're going to be up there and holding the shield, and then there's just portions, right? You ever seen movies where they're like hiding behind each other's shield? The shield's not quite big enough, right? That's kind of what it's like, is if your hope is stretched out, the shield of faith is quite weak. Thus, things can get through it, but the tighter you weave. Y'all know what, is it carbon fiber that it is? Yeah, carbon fiber, you know, it's woven together. And it is one of the strongest substances that I know of, as far as like for like probably body work and things. But they even make all kinds of stuff out of carbon fiber now. And it's something that's woven together. You know, same thing with a cord. I think of a scripture in Ephesians that talks about a threefold cord is not easily broken. Why? Because if it's one thing, it gets too stretched too quick. So if you weave it with other things, it gets stronger. Then I started thinking about why it's the shield of faith. So hope becomes the things it's all made out of. We got to weave it tight. Then we take our shield and we combine it with the person's shield next to us. And we do what? We form that line. It blew my mind that I saw how hope and faith created this, again, concept of a shield. The shield, but then that's even more of a reason why it's called a shield of faith, not a breastplate of faith. Because faith is still that only thing that combines with the person next to you. But if you've got a mesh shield that everything's getting through, that person beside you's like, hey, don't try to cover me with that. Let me cover you with mine, right? You got to have the hope to be able to not be stretched out, to be together, to where your shield is strong, and then you make the next one stronger. So just like on a small level, on a micro level, you have to build your own hope and keep your hope. Don't let it be deferred. Don't let it make you sick. Don't let it bring depression. Don't let it bring physical sickness into your life. God is good. He is giving. He wants us to have good things. So don't let your hope get stretched, because then your shield gets stretched. Then when you get in lineup with all of us, and we all got mesh shields, we're not really being very protected. But just like as tight as your hope needs to be, that's as tight as our shields got to be. Because the tighter our shields are together, the same thing, the less ends up getting through to where? Where's the heart, by the way, behind all the shield? Shield of faith, hope. Then you have a breastplate over that. Then you get to the heart. It's the most protected piece in battle is your heart and your head. And it's called salvation, the helmet of salvation, and the breastplate of righteousness. And we're not going to get into all that this week. But I wanted us to look at this last piece here when we talk about hope being the filter for how you perceive your faith. Because when we look at God as love, the very essence of it altogether, and we understand that he is sovereign. He has the authority. And then we look and say he is generous and giving. This allows us to look at things and say, now I know how tight to weave my filter. I know to keep my hope tight together, strong, so it can create faith in me that I can shield off. Remember, we talked about this, the wiles of the devil, and the word wiles means things that lie in wait. I can shield it off. I won't let it get deferred. I won't let it get stretched out. And by doing it, because I know what God is giving and he has all total authority, and I'm going to stand firm and steadfast in this. This starts to create wisdom, where we say, hey, remember, keep it, guard it, Keep the presence with you in your spirit all the time. That's going to give me wisdom to keep the presence of God, the authority, the generosity, and the love of God in my heart at all times. When I do that and I keep that moving forward, it creates wisdom. When I have hope, it creates my faith. Then I can walk in a place of wisdom. Last example of this is, who's ever been so overwhelmed when you get ready to do something that you give up before you begin? I did that with my garage recently. My garage was a disaster. This is kind of an ever-occurring thing at my house. I do a project, and my garage starts off semi-clean and ends up a disaster. And then I get it spotless clean, and then I do a project, and y'all see this ever-revolving pattern. But when I went to do it this time, it was probably the worst it's been in a long time. I had business stuff all over the place. I had stuff from chopping up wood and making a shelf. And I had so much stuff you could barely even get through the garage. And my wife went out there with me to help me. And we just kind of, for a second, stood and walked around. And I was like, oh. And I was about that close to saying, I'm just not even going to do it. It's not even worth getting started. Because I don't have enough time, or I don't this. My hope was quite deferred. And it made my wife's heart sick because she wanted the garage cleaned. And as I went through it, I started picking up stuff. And I was like, well, I can't get to that to get to that. And I just moved it. And it looked really like I was just moving piles around until the pile slowly got smaller. Jerry's back there really laughing. He's like, hey, I do that. But why? Because that's the way we look at things. Because we created this stretched out hope in our lives, whether it's a thing in your garage or it's your day. You have such a busy day. You're just like, oh, I don't even want to get out of bed to go deal with all this. Or maybe you just have like, I don't have anything to do with it, so I don't want to get out of bed either. Both are sources of life that can create what? Sick. They don't allow our hearts, our spirits to do what they're intended to do. And that's God's way of doing things. He says, listen. My way of doing things is higher than your way of doing things. The thoughts that I have towards you and for you and what I need for you are higher than your thoughts. So at any given point, if we are not exercising these aspects of the kingdom of God in our life, what it does is it leaves the filter open. That's why I would say hope is the core thing that we have to understand, because it creates the revolving cycle around our faith, which is the revolving cycle around our relationship with God. Because without faith, what? It's impossible. I was going to go into that scripture, but I didn't want to today because we'd get caught up there forever. Because this word impossible is interesting. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's impossible to have faith if you're stretched out. That's why he's called our strong tower, shelter. That's what the word refers to him as. Why? Because that's how we keep the hope. And with all these things, we start to be able to do things the way God wants us to do things. With all of these things, we start to put our spirit in alignment, which is actually what the word righteousness means. The word righteousness means to be in right standing. So if it's the righteousness of God, it means you are standing right with God. We always view that as that means you did every little thing right. No, that means you're standing in the kingdom the way he does things. I'm in the right standing to receive information. Remember, we talked about Face ID last week and how that's where you get your notifications and your alerts. You only get those when you've ID'd the face of God. You only start to understand hope and faith when you've ID'd the face of God. And to ID his face, once you pass his ID and of, okay, I know his character, who he is, I know he's love, I know he's sovereign, I know he's given, then you got to do one key thing. FaceTime him. Got to spend a little time with his face. Because it's great if you can ID him, right? For instance, what's the number one thing they do when they're looking for a criminal? ID him. That's fantastic. But that only gets you so far. Because then they go to ask family members that have spent a lot of time with him. They say, where would he go? What would he be doing? And that's kind of, we're searching for God. Why? Because we ID his face. We say, I want to get in his face. I want to see his presence. I want to do this. I want to do things the way God wants me to do things. Right? Who doesn't want that? That's why you're here this morning. Right? Who doesn't want that? But the next step after we ID his face is we got to start FaceTiming him.